Welcome to Sound and Vision, conversations with contemporary artists and musicians about the creative process. Here's the host of Sound and Vision, Brian Alfred.
Sound and Vision is sponsored by Golden Artist Colors. Golden makes some of the best art materials that you can get. You can find their products online at goldenpaints.com or in your local art store. Sound and Vision is also sponsored by Fulcrum Coffee Roasters. Fulcrum makes incredible coffee that you can have delivered to your door. Check out their website, fulcrumcoffee.com, where you can order subscription coffee services to have different blends delivered straight to your door, and you could save by entering code ALFREDSTUDIO when you check out.
Sound and Vision is supported by the New York Studio School. The school welcomes artists of all levels to join the upcoming 5-day intersession marathon entitled Constructing Space, led by painter Ed Praby, and taking place from Thursday, March 21st through Monday, March 25th, 2024. Rigorous and immersive, the Studio School's legendary marathons present an extensive range of art-making strategies, comprehensive critiques, and inspirational discussions. Virtual marathons are led in real time online, enabling artists to participate from their studios anywhere in the world. Visit nyss.org to apply today and stay tuned for summer marathons coming up in June and July.
Ojo Ayotunde is an artist born in Lagos, Nigeria, who lives and works in Lagos. He graduated with a degree in graphic design from the Yaba College of Technology in 2018. He worked as a junior art director for a year and a half, after which he decided to focus on his practice as a full-time studio artist. He's had exhibitions at Future Fair, at Vollery Gallery in Dubai, at Harper's Books in East Hampton, at Naima Fine Art in New York, Dida Gallery in Côte d'Ivoire, Co Gallery in Lagos, Relais Gallery in Lagos, as well as many others. He's had residencies at Dida Gallery in Côte d'Ivoire, Super Zoom Art Gallery in Paris, and the Southern Guild Gallery in Cape Town, South Africa. We talk about Nigerian music, design to drawing, palette knives and process, studio routines, and much more. Here's our conversation.
I think I got introduced to all this music, Sunny Ade, Ebenezer Obe, from my dad, actually. You know Ebenezer Obe?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, from my dad. And yeah, since I started keeping vinyl records, you know, I started to get some of those records, you know, very nostalgic.
Yeah, I'm sure it reminds you of being young, right? Those records that our parents played when we were young.
Yeah,
that leaves a big mark on it. Yeah, I think a lot of people in my generation who were interested in music were introduced to African music and Nigerian music specifically through like Tony Allen, Fela Kuti, you know, like that sort of like Afrobeat stuff, because it was, you know, there was, that's always kind of coming back in vogue. Like people are always going back to that music, just like people always go back to the Beatles or, you know, or whoever, you know, the older, more influential bands that just keep coming back in and like influencing people. So when you were young, music was in the house. It was something that was just around or that you were exposed to, right?
Yeah, music was in the house. Although coming from a very religious background, certain types of music were frowned upon. You know, I think it's called secular music. It was frowned upon. It wasn't one of those types of song that you just randomly play in the house or sing in the house and all of that. So it was mostly gospel, although my dad also used to listen to a lot of jazz, the Afrobeats, Sunny Ade, Ebenezer Obey, Fela Kuti, you know, all of those types of songs. But yeah, aside from that, it was gospel all through. But then I did, you know, listen to a lot of secular music, obviously. Right.
On the side.
On the side.
It's funny because gospel is like the safest, right? That's perfectly okay. Jazz is pretty safe because there's usually not a lot of lyrics. You know, a lot of it's
My dad used to listen to some gospel jazz.
Yeah.
Funny enough. I think that was a major introduction to jazz. Like from the gospel side.
Yeah. But the Afrobeat stuff, some of the lyrics got a little questionable. Or for those who have a very, you know, reserved taste of what those lyrics should be, but very political in the same way too.
Yeah, especially Fela Kuti.
Yeah.
Well,
that, and I love, I mean, normally I try to talk to artists about, you know, when they grow up and what informed them, how they started first getting creative and how art or drawing or music got into their life. But I think with you specifically, I mean, it feels like so much of your work is really about your experience in the spaces that you're in and this dynamic of, there's like, it feels like a lot of it, there's a quiet thoughtfulness and pensiveness to the environment of being in one's space, you know? And that's where a lot of us are in the studio or when we're inspired to be creative, you know, just in that quiet space of our own, thinking about things. And when you were younger, I mean, were you drawing? When did drawing enter your life?
I'm not sure I cannot say when exactly, but yeah, like at a very young age, I remember I used to do, it's called primary school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to scribble. I'm not sure exactly what it was that I used to scribble back then, but, you know, like at the back of my notebooks, my textbooks in school, I would always like be drawing one thing or the other. So yeah, it started from way back then. Then, you know, I started to meet friends that, you know, that were also in that space. Like they used to draw and stuff, and I'd find a lot of the things that they would draw like really fascinating. And then that's how I like would make friends with them. And, you know, would also try to make drawings like them and all of that stuff. Yeah, so, yeah, it was when I was very young. And I had this uncle back then, you know, there was this thing back then when we were young about us not being able to tell time. That's myself and my younger ones. We were finding it, like, difficult to, you know, tell the time. And it would always infuriate my uncle. Like, he was always, like, very angry and would be like, if it is for you to pick up your notebook now and just draw rubbish inside, you know how to do that one, but to tell the time, you don't know how to do that, you know. So, yeah, there was all of that back then. And, you know, funny enough, that same uncle was the one who introduced me to portraits.
Making
portraits. Yeah. He used to live with us back then, and I can remember just walking into his room one day and seeing a portrait of him hanging, you know, on his window.
Yeah.
And I saw the portrait then. It was the portrait, and then there was the actual picture of himself. Mm-hmm. And I think what he did back then was he used the grid method.
Yeah.
You know, drawing. Course, so I saw the grid line on the drawing itself, and I also saw the grid line on the actual, you know, picture. And I was just like very fascinated by that. He was this very he was not very accessible, mm-hmm. you know, back then. So I just put two and two together. I saw the grid on the drawing itself, and I saw the grid lines on the actual picture. And yeah, I just put two and two together. I was like, okay, yeah, it feels like this is how we did it. And I tried to do the same thing, and that was it. That was how I got into, you know, making portrait drawings.
Oh, wow. So he must have been really frustrated that you couldn't tell time, because obviously he had an admiration for, you know, visual things and in portraits. Yeah, so yeah. he was really mad at you for scribbling.
Yeah, so yeah, that was my introduction to arts. And my dad also, I can't seem to forget that memory. There was a time he made a drawing of, I think it was someone on a bicycle, in the village, obviously, because it was more like a village scene. There was like huts like in the background, and you know, like some trees, and I was really fascinated by that too.
Yeah,
I used to, because sometimes when we talk, he used to tell us about how his own father didn't like really let any of his children like venture into arts and stuff, you know. So yeah,
why like, did he say why it was forbidden?
I think the popular notion about, you know, arts, especially in Africa, is like it's not like a lucrative thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, when you hear people talking about what their children are doing, like back then, it's like, yeah, my child is a doctor, he's an engineer, you know, and all of that stuff. So yeah, arts was frowned upon, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere.
This is not an African thing. I think that's Asia, that's America. You know, people are like, why are you wasting your time doing that? You know,
doing art, yeah.
You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could, you know, all that stuff.
But engineer and all that stuff, yeah.
Art, so it's why make it hard for yourself?
Why? What are you going to do with this anyway?
Exactly. Oh, I'll enjoy my life and do something I really enjoy. But you won't get paid for it. You know, there's always parents worry about that stuff, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, it. The specific question to drawing too, I think, is interesting in relation to you, because in looking at the work, it just, your work has, you know, there's the undercurrent of a drawing, or at least it looks like it has this real sturdy undercurrent of a drawing process within the painting, you know.
Yeah.
Like I can, and I think I've seen, you know, sketches of yours too, so obviously you can draw, but it's nice that the paintings maintain that element of like sketchiness in a way of the tactile nature of like capturing light and dark in these figures in a way that's very, it feels very drawing based. So obviously you must have worked on it a lot.
On drawings?
Yeah, or maybe it just came really easy to you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the drawing culture really came to me like at a very young age. And you know, I just wouldn't do anything else apart from that.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I like found myself doing like every now and then. When it was time to go to secondary school, that is where you choose between being an art student or a science student. Obviously, art was like my thing. I'm not that good with books, you know. Yeah. So it was the arts. And yeah, right from school, a lot of people knew me for, you know, being able to draw and stuff, you know. And even in the science classes, a lot of the times I'll get called upon to come and like for, say, like the chemistry or the biology classes or all of that, I'll get called upon to come and make, you know, diagrams on the board.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I made a lot of map drawings, like drawings of the map. I made a lot of skeleton drawings.
Yeah,
you know, and all of that stuff. Yeah, I did a lot of that. Yeah.
So you must have felt value in that, right? Or kind of like, oh, well, you know, I'm the guy who can do this. Like they're calling on me for that. So, you know, I think a lot of times when you're young, and you do something, and people are like, oh, they're good at that. Or you know, it just takes that little bit of encouragement to really make you feel like, yeah, this is something I can do.
I think that was one of the forming stages for me, you know, because, you know, having that level of, you know, recognition or sort of like acceptance that, okay, yeah, you know how to do this thing, and then you're valuable in like this area to do stuff. Yeah, it was one of the things that like pushed me to continue.
Yeah.
Do all these things. Yeah.
Well, that environment of school, like when you were getting ready to graduate, what was the what was your plan? What were you thinking? How serious were you with, you know, making art at that point? And was it a challenge as far as like, well, I mean, obviously you've pursued it. It's something that you're doing now, but what was it like back then? It sounds like there wasn't a terrible amount of faith or support for people to just, you know, be an artist. So it's probably challenging, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, for me, it wasn't so much of an issue, you know, saying that I wanted to do art. My parents were really supportive.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, I know my dad would always say back things like he, because, you know, at some point when he started to see my drawings and, you know, for the fact that he also had, you know, that love for it, but yeah. Then he wasn't able to, you know, push further in it because of the, you know, the drawbacks from his parents, you know. So seeing me being able to do those things, I remember back then he would always be like, this is nice. He wishes his, you know, dad would let him, you know, have done, you know, all of that stuff.
Right.
You know, and yeah, they never really, you know, talked against it. You know, rather it was more encouragement and stuff. And then when I was getting ready to graduate from secondary school, it was more of, a continuation of, you know, the art journey. You know, I said, yeah, I want to go to the university to, you know, study art.
Yeah.
You know, like, for, yeah, they were behind me.
That's great.
And I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I went to school and, you know, started from general arts. That's what it's called then. Where you go there, you do, you know, live drawings, ceramics, sculpture, you know, like everything around that. Then it gets to a point where you now get to major, that's the HND. And yeah, that's the tricky part. I also fell in love somewhere along the way with graphic designing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that love just, it really came to me when I was in my ND level in school. And, you know, I think because it was fresh to me at that time, I just, you know, decided that I would go major in graphic design.
Yeah.
You know, other than painting.
Were you doing most of the stuff on the computer?
Yeah. A lot of people found out that I had moved to, that majored in graphic design. They would always ask me back then, like, yo, what are you doing here? It's like, everybody thought I was going to, you know, end up in painting and all that. But yeah, I majored in graphic design. But while I was doing that, I was still drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just drawings, basically. Like, I just kept drawing. I was making a lot of portrait drawings. Yeah.
Yeah, because you could still, you were taking graphic design courses, but you were still able to take painting courses as well, right?
If you're yes.
Like a full-time program. Yeah. Was your the stuff that you did with graphic design, did you bring some painterly elements into it, or was it purely just like design work? And did you like it, or did it feel a little constricting?
I think one thing that I enjoyed about graphic design was being able to, I think graphic design makes you conscious about balance.
Yeah.
When it comes to designing colors, the arrangements of your texts and all of those things. And yeah, I think that was something that was, I'm really drawn to like that kind of thing, you know, and yeah, I enjoy that. And I think it has influenced my paintings in some way. I'm not sure exactly how.
I can imagine. I mean, it's hard because it looks as though, you know, the interiors and the people that you're painting, it feels real. Like, it feels like you're painting from observation, or these are places that you're familiar with. I mean, I don't know if you are or not, but they don't seem imagined. They seem like you're looking at it. But, I mean, part of the really interesting thing about your paintings is the light in them, and then also the compositional element, like the way that your composition is. I think that has a lot to do with design, graphic design, and framing out a picture, just kind of how to make something compelling, the way that you're cropping it or zooming in on certain things. And I think design teaches you that about balance and composition and the formal elements of a painting that, in color too, but that can really, you know, help out the work.
Mm-hmm.
And your palette is very specific too, but I don't know if a lot of that is just based on what you're looking at, but it feels like you're using specific colors and tones in a certain way that feels consistent throughout a lot of the work.
Yeah, and to be honest, that was not something that was conscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something when I started painting in the beginning of COVID. Yeah, like when the lockdowns started.
Mm-hmm.
I only used to make drawings, like back then, make portrait drawings, make figure drawings. And I can remember one time there was this collector in Nigeria that had discovered my works, and then he bought a lot of my drawings at that time. You know, I think this was late 2019. I think that was around the time when COVID. Yeah. So he bought a lot of my drawings back then, and that was where I had like my first major money from arts then. And I think as at that time, I've been, you know, like really thinking about, because I was still designing at that time, but I think I was not really, really enjoying designing like I thought I would. Because actually, I did work with an advert agency,
mm-hmm.
like a year and a half.
Like the day job sort of thing.
Yeah. Like the day job thing. And, you know, I was still making my drawings, like I said, obviously. And I made that sale. And right at that time, I was also like thinking about how to, you know, like move further from drawing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was itching to explore something else. And, you know, I just went to the art store that time and I got like a lot of paint. Before that, a friend of mine, Julius, had given me like a bunch of his oil paint. So I tested that out first to see like what the paint's like. And it looked like something that I was very, very interested in, like I would want to do. So when I got that money, I just went to the art store and bought like a ton of paints and stuff. And then COVID, you know, did its thing, the lockdown.
Yeah.
And all that. I was living alone, you know, at that time. So it was just me, the paints and the canvas. And yeah, that was when I started, you know, painting. And yeah, I'd say that a lot of the colors that I was using at that time were like very bright colors, you know, but as I progressed with the painting, it just didn't really appeal to me that much. And, you know, I just gradually, unconsciously started to like tone down my colors.
Yeah, they feel closer to the language of drawing in a way. You know, those sort of earthy tones of like charcoal or Conte or like, those kind of, that palette is very specific. And there's a warmth to it too, you know, and it feels very organic, not sort of, because bright colors can really have this sort of like artificial feel to it.
Mm.
And your work feels more tied to soil or, you know, just earthy pigments. Which is a really nice element of it. It also gives it there's a little bit of nostalgia to it too, because it feels a little faded in certain areas, and then some things are sort of fading into the background, which gives it this feeling of maybe memory or the past and the present at the same time. I don't know if that's something that you were intentionally, you know, going for in the paintings.
Yeah, that is something that I'm intentionally going for in the paintings, like, especially like my most recent paintings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I found myself in the point where it's like I'm trying to, you know, do some form of abstraction.
Yeah.
Like with the paintings, you know, become, I feel like I've been, you know, like, would I say rigid, like with my paintings and stuff. And now it's, I'm trying to be like more loose with the paintings, evoking like some certain feelings. It's like I'm not going for exactitude, like with, because I work from like references and stuff, but while I'm working from the references, I'm trying to, you know, be imaginative with the way I'm, you know, approaching different parts of the paintings, you know, and
I think that balance is really where the work kind of sings, you know, because I if I'm not mistaken, some of your older drawings were like super tight, like very realistic. Yes. And I mean, it looked like you were really good at making something look like something, but
yeah,
but that was pretty much, it felt like that was the goal of those drawings. Whereas, you know, in the newer work, it feels like I said, there's this feeling of ambiance and memory, and it just feels like imbued with a lot more air and space for the viewer to move around in it, outside of like, wow, that looks exactly like that guy standing in a room, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a real strength of the work. But I'm sure that's, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a photorealistic, I've never been given a gift of being able to make something look just like something else, really, or and honestly, I was never really that interested in that, but I imagine it's hard to break away from that. Or was it easy to loosen up and to not be so tight with the drawings?
Yeah, it was not something that was really hard for me. I mean, like I said, I got to a point with my drawings where it was like I wanted to explore something else, you know, aside making the photorealistic drawings and stuff. And I moved to painting. I remember the first few paintings that I would make back then, I would always like draw, I still do, but I would make the drawings first. And you know, a lot of the times, like back then, I would still like detail those drawings and like paint over it, you know? And the first few paintings that I made, at the end of the paintings, like, you would almost not see the drawings.
Yeah.
You know, like on the paintings, it's like they just totally disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as I gradually continued to paint, it felt like I wanted to still keep that drawing element in the painting.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it to still have like a huge presence in the painting. And, you know, it was just a bunch of experiments, you know, trying to see how, you know, I could work with that, have the drawing and also have the painting and find ways to like merge them together,
you know,
in an organic way.
So, well, what is the kind of history of influence? Like, are you, obviously you're using a lot of source material, and I think you're using your surroundings and painting from life at times, or at least painting from images from life. But who are the people that you're looking at as you're developing through school, and then when you're starting to paint, moving out of drawing, did you have a lot of other artists that you were looking at, art history? Were there, you know, books you're reading or movies, or what's all the stuff visually floating around in your head that you pull from outside of daily life?
I mean, so for the drawings, it was really just, you know, drawings. Started from making drawings of like comic books. There was this book, Super Strikers, back then when I was very young. It was about football. Yeah, and I always used to try and make like those drawings back then. So yeah, I think it was just that for that. But for painting, you know, at the time when I, you know, started painting, there was an artist. There's a Nigerian artist. It's called Ibe Ananaba. Yeah, his paintings, I think they were the ones that I saw first. And obviously I've been seeing like a lot of paintings, you know, but his own painting was the one that I saw that made me, you know, say, oh, okay, I think I want to, you know, try painting. And his style of painting was pretty different, because he I don't know if he uses brush, or he paints with like palette knives.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw that then, I would try that out. But yeah, so yeah, I did. And yeah, the first few paintings that I made were made with palette knives. I still do that, like, up to now. It's a very huge part of my practice, painting with, like, palette knives. And yeah, so I think he was the first. And as I would go on, I started to, you know, be inspired by a lot of other artists. Yuan Uglow. Yuan Uglow, I don't know if I'm getting this thing correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I came across his work on Pinterest at some point. There's a way he paints. It almost looks like, you know, he works with, like, the palette knives and stuff, although I don't really think he works with the palette. I think there's a way he uses his brush that feels that way. I think I discovered the work of Jennifer Parker at some point. That's one of my, like, my biggest influence right now. I was going to say Lucien Freud. I'm drawn to his color palette. I think it's a very distinct.
Seeing work in person is, it hits so different, because when you're a painter and you see how, you may not even know how they're doing it, but when you just see that physical paint laying on the surface and the texture, it can really change you. You know, I remember when I was in college, I didn't go to New York much because I was young, and I would look at magazines, and then I had an idea of how all this stuff looks. And the first time I finally got to New York and saw some art shows in person, I was just, like, blown away. I was like, how are they doing that? You know, it just looked so different than in a little picture, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of an education, you know?
Yeah, it is. It reminds me of, this was very recently, I think it was in December, my most recent residency at Cape Town. I came across the book by Jennifer Parker. Mm-hmm. It was on one of our exhibitions. I think the eye is not satisfied with seeing. You know, I came across that book and I saw, you know, it was the closest that I've gotten to seeing like a real, like, the actual painting of, you know, Jennifer Parker.
Yeah.
Ever since, there's always been on Instagram and Pinterest and all of that. But now I'm getting to see her paintings in that book. And there was something about the prints, you know, in that text that was so real. I was moved to tears just seeing those paintings in that book. And it got me thinking what it would feel like if I was actually seeing those paintings in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great. I remember the first time I saw one of those. It was pretty amazing. You know, and the one that I saw was pretty huge too, you know, so it's always different when you're seeing a little picture. I mean, so many young people today look at Instagram, and that's fine, but when you go stand in front of it and it's like 10 foot long or something, it's a whole different experience. So what is your what's your daily kind of, like, studio ritual, or, like, what's your an average day look like for you?
I mean, taking care of my dog is one.
Sure.
There's one. And I recently started keeping, you know, sketchpad. So I'm doing a lot of drawings.
Yeah.
You know, mostly watching documentaries. I like watching documentaries on YouTube, you know, artist interviews and all of that. You know, I'm also doing a little bit of my own writing, you know, trying to write.
Yeah. That's nice.
And also at the same time, you know, work. I'm also trying to read now. I've never been the best reader. You know, so I'm trying to do that a lot more now. And working mostly.
Right. Studio time, right?
Yeah, studio time.
I always joke that it's hard for artists to read a ton, because when we have that time, we're usually making things visually. Unless you do books on tape, which is it's good because, you know, you can listen as you work, but it's hard. I mean, you spend a lot of your time, you know, in front of the canvas or in the studio. That's time that you can't really read a book because you're not just sitting down using your eyes for that, you know?
Yeah, but there's some artists that I think it comes really easy to them.
Yeah. Yeah, they just devour books left and right. Yeah, I'm not... I like reading, but it's got a place.
I hope to be like...
Right. When you're working in the studio, is it quiet or do you like music? Or do you listen to shows or podcasts or books?
I do all of that. But I think that I actually do enjoy quiet a lot more. And one thing that I've actually discovered about me and, you know, that way of working is a lot of the times when I choose quiet to work, then there's a song. It probably be like a song from like the past, and it just keeps ringing in my head. And then I pick up my search music on Spotify, and then I'm now like in a very, very good mood to paint.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I enjoy when the song comes to me, you know, from like that silent, you know,
state. It's in your head as opposed to having to listen to it.
Yeah. So a lot of the times it's music that I'm not even thinking about, music that I probably have not even listened to in like the last 6 months or 1 year, and then it just comes like, there's this song that I used to like.
Right.
Yeah.
So is your studio where you live or is it far from where you live? What's the
where it's, do you it's where it? I
Well, that's good.
Yeah, my studio is where it is. I'm getting tired of that. You know,
I feel like I want the external one.
Yeah, I feel like I want the external one. And it's something that I'm looking to change, you know, pretty soon. I feel like there's this comfort that comes with, you know, your studio being in, like, your living space.
Yeah, totally.
I think that is not necessarily good sometimes.
Right.
Yeah,
that can be a problem. You know, it's it can go one way or the other too, because sometimes it's like you know you feel too comfortable, so I'll just go relax, and you know you're not treating it like this place that you're going just to work and focus on that. But in other ways too, I used to live where I worked, and I would never be off work because it would be, you know, 11 at night or something, and I'd be tired, but I'd be like, well, the painting's there, and it's bugging me because something's not finished, so I'd just go work on it. So it's almost like you can sometimes never separate yourself from your work, which could be an issue.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with being disciplined at the same time. You need a lot of discipline to...
That's true. That is very true. It's almost like relationships. It's like when you're with someone, if you're with them all the time and you never have a break, it can be too much. You could start to get on each other's nerves.
Exactly.
You know, but then if you're never around, you can disconnect. So you have to find that balance, you know. It's like that with your work. Yeah. It's like you need to be dedicated to it, not take it for granted. You need to give it space to breathe and some time away from it. That's why I feel like, I don't know if you get to travel a lot, but travel sometimes is so inspiring and great because it forces you to be out of the studio. You know, you have to just go live.
It is. It is. That's something that I'm hoping to be able to do a lot of, you know, in the coming years. I've only been able to do a few. And yeah, I totally agree with what you just said. It's like a way to get like renewed, you know, art energy of some sort.
When are you coming to New York?
Sorry?
When are you gonna come to New York?
Soon, very soon, I hope.
Yeah.
Very soon.
With your work, where are the different places you've gotten to show so far, and where are some of your like dream places to show your work?
I've shown in the US. I've shown in Brussels, I think that's Germany. I've shown in Côte d'Ivoire. I've shown in, my most recent one was Cape Town, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I've also shown in Dubai.
Nice.
Yeah,
you didn't go there, or did you?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been. And I've shown there, but I've never been there.
We're in Dubai, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It was with Valerie.
Yeah, that's where I showed.
Nice.
It was a group show, but yeah, I didn't make it to the group show. But Dubai seems like a very interesting place. I mean, it's definitely booming financially.
Yeah, that's like an interesting place. Yeah, so yeah, and where I would love to show, I'd love to show in Paris.
Yeah. Do you, a random question, do you speak any other languages?
Yoruba. I tried to learn French when I was in Cote d'Ivoire. I think I was doing pretty good at some point, because at some point I stopped using like the translator, but as soon as I left there, everything just...
It fades out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then I found myself in Paris and I was finding it difficult to, remember a lot of those things that I was... Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard because in Paris, in my experiences, they don't... If I took French for 7 years, but it's really rusty because I never really used it. So if I ever try, they're just like, they'll just speak to me in English.
Like, yeah, and I noticed that the French is there's a bit of a difference between the French in Cote d'Ivoire and the French in maybe like there's native French and then there's the general, I don't know.
Yeah, and then there's also just like certain words that are said in different places and slang and proper French.
French also has the thing with the tongue. That's like another aspect to it. That is, but I hope to learn that language properly.
Right. I'm fascinated by language. I love it. It's so interesting. Yeah. I wish I could learn. These days, it's crazy because there's so many resources, and people know so much more about languages. But it's great when you can communicate. It's like the language.
How many languages do you?
I mean, I speak English. I took French for 7 years. I'm conversational in Japanese, and I listen to a lot of other languages and love to sort of like watch YouTube videos of people speaking different languages, but I only really speak English, a little bit of French, a little bit of Japanese. That's all.
Nice.
Yeah. So do you have anything coming up, any shows on the radar in the future, or like what's the best way people can find your work and look in? I mean, you're on Instagram obviously, but what's the best way for people to look into your work and see what you have coming up?
I'm not very good with socials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, so I think Instagram is like the most for me. Right now I'm currently working on a solo, which is going to be like my first solo. It's supposed to be later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working on.
Is that all?
Sorry?
Is that going to be paintings, like large scale, small scale? Like what do you have the
large scale?
Nice.
Large scale painting.
That's cool. And do you know where that's... Is there's a specific place for that show? But you can't say yet? Sometimes people can't say.
Sorry?
Sometimes people can't say yet.
Yeah, no specifics. Just
It'll be announced on Instagram, right? If people follow you, they'll find it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, they will.
Do you want to give everyone your Instagram name so they can follow you?
My Instagram is Ojo_Ayotunde. That's OJO_AYOTUNDE.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to when you have that show in New York. I want to see that work. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm honest. I don't know when the next time I'm coming to Nigeria. I mean, I'd love to, but I don't know. But I have a feeling you'll be showing in New York again soon. So I'm excited to see the work.
Yeah.
Well, it was great to meet you, and I'm so glad we could make it happen. And thanks so much for doing it. And and I'm a big fan of the work. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. This was great.